The film crickets are intended for mature audiences. Any guests on the film crickets do not necessarily share the same opinions as the film crickets. It's time for the Film Crickets with Jay Fortier, Chris Martineau, and Melanie Howerton. On this week's episode, our good friend Elizabeth from the YouTube channel Movies with Mom returns to the show, and Jay, Chris, Melanie, and Elizabeth review the 1996 American epic disaster film, Twister.
What's wrong with you? We can still do this!
Listen to yourself, you're obsessed!
You've never seen what that thing can do! You've never seen it miss this house and miss that house!
Does it stand the test of time? Let's find out. Your film crickets are on now.
All right. Welcome, friends. And we are the Film Crickets. My name is Jay Fortier, and I am along with my good friend and co-host, Chris Martineau.
Hello. Guten Tag.
Hello. I am along with my good friend and co-host, Melanie Howerton. How are you, Melanie?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. All right. So the intro stated that we are being joined by Elizabeth from Movies with Mom, who she has been on with us twice. We're not sure where she is, and we're just hoping everything's okay.
Yep, that's all. Things happen.
With that. Yeah.
Yep.
Cool. You know, life happens.
It does.
And if
all
she
the
should
time.
Appear, if she shows up midstream, we'll
that's fine.
Talk about it then.
Yeah.
All right.
Life, life, and movies find a way.
Life, finds a way.
We're doing Twister this week. Well, let's go through the history of this, right? So this came out in 96. Good year for movies, I think. I remember seeing a lot of good movies that year. So what's your history with Twister? So I'll start with Jason. When did you see it first? Did you have a copy of it? What's your deal?
I want to say 90% chance I saw it opening night. I was very excited. And I remember the teasers, like when it was this close, it was right, like, before it came out, they had the scene where Dusty, which is Philip Seymour Hoffman, goes, "It's coming!"
Yeah.
As a thing of, like, the movie's
it's
coming,
already,
you know?
Right,
what I mean? Like, because they would do that right at the beginning, "It's coming!" And that's right, Twister, you know, like, and it would be like, so I was like, boom, I was so pumped. You know, then a couple months later, Independence Day. So, like, it was all, like, this big 96. You said it was huge. And it was just blockbuster. Summer popcorn blockbuster, even though it came out, like, May. And, you know, so it was, like, the beginning, though. The beginning of the summer, kind of. And I loved it right away. I even, like, you know, it's one of those movies that gets you so, especially then, in 1996, get you so pumped. It was like I go out the door at night at the theater, and I'm like looking around, in the sky. No. It was you just like experienced it. So it was like you know. So yes, I liked it a lot. I owned it. You know, I might have owned it on DVD after. I don't know if I bought it again, but I've seen it many times over the years.
Cool. Melanie, where are you with Twister?
Well, I love it, and I don't know. I've seen it a billion times, but I just don't remember the first time I ever saw it. Okay. I'm sure I probably owned it before on VHS. I do not have it on DVD, unfortunately. Yeah, that's my experience.
All right, cool. So I saw this in the theater. I know I saw it in the theater. I was excited to see it because this is new ground. Like, no one had ever had a movie where weather was the villain, basically, right? And also, we were very disaster happy in the mid-90s and after. Titanic, Twister, Independence Day, Day After Tomorrow,
Volcano.
Armageddon, Volcano. Like, Jesus Christ. Like,
Volcano and Dante's Peak came out, like, the same year.
Right. And that was a competing studios. They needed to have, you know, they have a Volcano movie. We got to make one, too, damn it.
And so,
ours comes out of L.A.
Day After Tomorrow. We've got to do that.
That's a terrible movie.
No, it is not.
Terrible. It's terrible. No, there's nothing. No, no, no. There's not. No, I'll school you on that. That's a bad movie. That's a bad movie. No, the cold roars in that movie. That's bullshit. So it does. They run from the cold and it roars. That's bullshit. You're right. I know I'm right. It's dumb. And the wolves are terrible.
They also have. This was during the era of George W. Bush.
Cheney.
But I saw it in the theater, and the guy says, the president gets told that, like, this is happening, and, you know, America's going to be screwed. Mm-hmm. And he turns to his vice president and goes, what do we do? And the entire theater erupted.
And the end of the movie, they have the vice president is pretty much deciding everything because the other guy left. Anyway, so
that's what I liked about it. They didn't listen to him.
I know, it's just so.
It's just like Jaws.
Okay. Well, let's move on. So we saw Twister. I really liked it when I first saw it. I saw it with, my ex-wife, who I was dating at the time, and then like one of her friends from school, who was from Iowa. So like tornadoes are a thing, like it's something you gotta worry about. And I remember like her crying at the end of the movie, like, it's so beautiful, because you don't know when the Twister misses your house. So we were really big on villainizing, I don't know if that's the right word, Mother Nature, and how if Mother Nature decides you need to be wiped off the planet, you will be wiped off the planet, and there will be nothing that you can do because you cannot stop nature. So I really, really liked it. I got it on VHS. I know I did. I got the soundtrack on one of those buy 12 records for a penny and then get charged $36 per record after that.
Listed as Kermit T. Frog.
Yes.
The different names.
Oh, yeah. Just as many times.
Bringing up the soundtrack.
Yes.
Okay. So, like I said, I like the Van Halen one, Shine On.
Yep. But Human's Being.
There's something that makes me really upset about that is because one of my favorite songs that they literally forgot about, and I don't understand like why it's in some when you see a Twister every once in a while, when you see this movie, the ending song is the Goo Goo Dolls, Long Way Down. And I love that song. And it just makes you have this amazing energy. I don't know. I just absolutely love that the movie ended like that. But the last couple of times that I've literally seen Twister, it isn't. They don't even play it. I don't understand
that. It's the Van Halen song.
No, it's the Goo Goo Dolls. But then when you see the credits at the end, they show it, but they never even played it in the movie.
I saw it. Did you hear it on the other day?
No.
Okay, you watched it on Max?
Yes.
Okay, I heard it.
What?
They were pulling up. I'll see if I can find the scene.
I'm literally waiting for it because they played it for a long time. Several times when I watched that movie, and all of a sudden it's just not there. Did you say that?
I got what you're saying, but I did hear it.
So the great song, and one of the classic 90s soundtrack to a move with a movie, because they released an entire album and like two songs are on it. So for that, I had Twister, Godzilla, Rage Against the Machine is in the Godzilla soundtrack, but it was just a slew of songs that most of them weren't in the movie. So that's my history with it. I haven't watched it since I lost it on VHS. Every now and then it's on TV, and then I tune it in to laugh at it because I am married to someone that has an earth science degree and knows a lot about meteorology, and even I know that most of the weather stuff in this is horseshit. But
Chris,
that doesn't matter.
Here today to fuck us over. No. For Twister.
No, I'm not gonna be that guy, but I am gonna call it when I see it. Let's get into
the ending.
What?
The ending guy. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Yeah, right.
We'll get to it.
So here we go. So Twister 1996 comes at PG-13, 1 hour and 53 minutes. The one sentence tagline is Bill and Joe Harding, advanced storm chasers on the brink of divorce, must join together to create an advanced weather alert system by putting themselves in the crosshairs of extremely violent tornadoes. directed by Jan de Bont, written by Michael Crichton, I guess, Anne-Marie Martin, starring Helen Hunt, who is just darling in this, Bill Paxton, everybody, what's not to like about Bill Paxton, Carrie Ewells, I say that wrong, didn't I?
I always say it that. Is it Ewells?
All right.
I always say Ewells.
He's Dr. Jonas. Jamie Gertz, ladies of the 80s. Jamie Gertz is in this. And then, oh, poor Philip Seymour Hoffman. Oh, boy. Like, this is first, I think, one of his first big movies. But Lois Smith, Sean Whalen, Alan Ruck from I love seeing him because he was in Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Ferris Bueller, yeah.
Yeah. And then there are two characters in this movie named Stanley and Kubrick, which I think is hysterical. The other part that I love about this movie is that it tears a page from Aliens, is that everybody on the ragtag team of storm chasers has like a nickname. So rather than, you know, where's Baskey and Croft and Crow, it's like Dustin Rabbit. And Rabbit and Sanders and Preacher and Belzer and Joey and it's like, oh my God. Like everybody,
well, they're also
like everybody
CVs.
Has to have like a G.I. Joe fucking code name. You know,
but they're using
oh, here
CVs.
Comes Preacher. And the preacher is good. Preacher is wise. What?
Did you hear me?
What did you say? No.
I said they're using CBs. So, like, that's also probably, like, they're, you know, okay. Whatever, man. I'm not defending it. Like, I have a CB. And I'm the cricket.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm cricket. No. I'm curmudgeon. So, no, and I'm going to say, coming out of the gate when we talk about this movie, I like this movie. I do like it. It's not going to sound like that, but I do like it. I swear to God.
It's, okay, so it's not technically correct, but who gives
no,
a
no, not at all.
Shit?
Not all a right. bit. But neither is Jaws. So, it's, again, yeah. I don't like it as much as Jaws, but there's a
especially
lot.
Especially with them seeing 8 tornadoes within a span of
statistically,
a few hours.
Statistically fucking impossible. Yeah. Like, it doesn't great. Work like that. Yeah. All in the same area. No.
Well, let me enlighten you people.
Well, let me enlighten you people.
Enlighten you people. So let's talk about this, right? So we have our storm chasers. They're coming in. It's gonna be, you know, the movie starts out right out of the gate, which I appreciate. Like, we got weather set up. It's gonna be one of the most historic weather nights in recent memory. Okay, fine. It starts out with he's gonna sign divorce papers, or does she? She has to sign divorce papers because Bill Paxton's going to get married to Jamie Gertz, who is a reproductive therapist, which I don't think is a thing.
Like a psychologist. She's in psychology.
Can I do one thing first?
You can do one thing, Jay. Sorry. What's that?
I think we need to talk about the basis of Helen Hunt's depression and stress and anger.
Yeah.
Let's go to the cold open.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Oh my God! First of all, why did the father have to hold that thing down? They did just fine with it being open when he flew away, so they survived fine. Why did he feel like he just had to hold that down? Just go over to the corner and cower down there. I always thought that when I saw that. Always.
Because I want to ask this. They go to the storm cellar and he holds it like thinking that's gonna stop it from opening. Okay, the door. Yeah. Because it's rattling too much. Okay.
Right.
This guy, you have to assume, is from the Oklahoma area.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So I think he's seen a couple of tornadoes to the point where he has a storm cellar.
Yes.
Which I think is very cool, by the way. I would love to have one of those. I just think it's neat.
I just don't want the reason.
That's bad.
I think it's so cool to have storm shelters and like bomb shelters and all that. I just think it's so cool.
So did John Goodman in 10 Cloverfield Lane, but it was for a different reason.
My whole thing is, dude, I think you've seen it take houses. It can pick up a car or a truck or anything it wants to if it's big enough. And they even said, I think, F5 maybe on the news. Maybe don't sit there and hold on to the door. And then he gets taken away. So the whole drive for this film is because she was personally hurt by it, and she wants to get a better warning system.
Right.
The safety.
No, but my point
because
is
it's 3 minutes.
He never needed to die.
No, he didn't need to die.
It was so brutal. It was like, come on, really?
I always thought the same thing.
What debris If you, like Melanie's saying, if you're in a storm cellar and you've done enough of them, you know that you go to the farthest point away from the windows, and even if the doors come off, debris is going to get into the stairs. It's not going to find you like fucking Jason, and like, not you, Jason. You know, it's not going to go like, or like one of the silvery spheres in Phantasm. It's not going to go chasing you around the basement. You're going to be probably fine. Your home's going to be destroyed, but you'll be okay. And it's not, you're not going to flood. There's rain associated with these, but not flooding rain. And yeah, you don't live in a flood zone where there'll be flash floods, because it's moist ground. So that's not going to happen either. So yeah, I get it. They're trying to personify the tornado.
Yeah.
They're trying to personify the tornado like as a serial killer, and it's coming after you. It's choosing you, and it's going to get you, which is dumb.
The revenge.
The tornado is that it doesn't last that long. Like, that's the only good thing about a tornado is it didn't last that long. So if you can just go and cuddle somewhere and huddle, I should say, somewhere down there where the other people are.
Believe it or not, men like to cuddle.
You know, my house is getting ripped up. You know what I do? I cuddle.
Yeah.
I cuddle. It makes me feel so much better.
Guys, that was the most romantic twister that ever came through.
God. Okay, well, it is a love story. That's exactly.
And that's when you were conceived.
Love story. I'm sorry, but excuse me. In the beginning, when the freaking parents just left the dog on the bed. Yeah. They pick the kid up off the bed. They leave the dog on the bed, which is the exact same kind of dog. It's a Cairn Terrier, which was in, you know, Wizard of Oz. But they leave that dog on the bed, and they pick up the kid, and the dog's just like, where are you going? It's just like in what movie were we talking about, Jay? That one?
Independence Day.
Yes, thank you. She leaves the dog in the car, and she waits till like the fire is like right next to the dog, and she goes, and then she whistles. It's like, just grab the freaking dog at the same time. There's two people. There's one kid.
Because they want the audience to go.
One grab the kid. Huh?
They want the audience to gasp.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, why would you leave the dog there? I don't get it.
No, no. The writers say, let's do that so that people will get, not the dog.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So they do it just to make us upset.
So I got to. So, all right. Is that what you want to say about the cold open? Because I agree. And you know.
He never should have gone up to the damn thing and died.
Of course not.
It's real simple.
And you know, because
why he did that.
Well, you know because
actually,
of that.
No, he's not supposed to have died though. they said like in the original script, the father was not supposed to have died, but they did that on purpose so that you would know that Joe had this huge drive. Like, you know.
Yeah. But why can't Joe just have drive? Like, do we need to kill the whole family?
Yeah.
It would have been unnecessary. Like, why can't you just want to help people? Like, I understand, and at the end is that, you know, there's that big scene at the end where she says that to Bill Paxton, and he says, you're obsessed, and then he blurts out, like, look, forget about the past, look at what you have right in front of you, it's me, Joe, and Jamie Gertz is listening under an umbrella.
That was one of my favorite parts ever in the movie right there.
Oh, no, it is nice, it is sweet, but it is probably the only moment that Bill Paxton gets past this tone.
Like, oh, see, he's,
like throughout the whole film, and I love it.
I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad you brought it up. Go ahead, finish your point. I'm sorry.
No, I was gonna say he. You know, most of it was Jonas, son of a bitch.
Yeah,
he went out and got himself a bunch of toys, and
say it.
But he doesn't have Dorothy.
Yeah, they're in it for the money, not the science. That's how he says it. And this is, we talked about Bill Paxton the other day. I think it was probably for Aliens, maybe.
Yeah.
Bill Paxton, you know, everything I've ever heard about him, he is just was a class act, absolute sweetheart. No bad stories have come up with Bill Paxton. He worked hard. He's not the best. He's like Keanu Reeves. You know, maybe he was good in this movie. He's not good. He is not deliver his lines like I believe him at all, except maybe when he's stressed out. But he's in it for the money, not the science. Or look what you got right in front of you, Joe. Like. He's, again, my man Keanu Reeves. He's not good in the John Wick movies, but I like watching him. He's compelling to watch, but can we agree that Bill Paxton doesn't do a super job?
Liability
well,
only.
I thought he looked like he was upset when he was, like, trying to yell at that guy when he was stealing his idea or when he was saying that. He's like, is that what you think it did? It came after, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or when he was, like screaming in the car at her. But I see what you're saying, but it's like I remember talking to you about him in another movie, and I remember like what you said. And the whole time, all I could think of was, I really just love him.
Oh yeah, I know too. He's so awesome.
And that's what I mean. Like,
love him. It's like
it's Keanu Reeves too. Yeah. Like, he's not real good in John Wick except like one scene where he. But it's just you can't help but like him. I get it.
You know what it is, guys.
But people,
you can't teach charisma.
Yeah, well, he's got charisma. He just
that's what I'm saying. No, you.
Yeah.
No, what I'm saying is, that's what people love. He has a magnetic. Way. Sure. Like, you know, so we love him.
Yep. Yeah, there's something very attractive about him in every way. Like, he could even not even be the best looking guy, but you're attracted to him because of his personality as well. And like, and I read somewhere, and I'll go this is later on, but because I have it in my trivia, Tom Hanks was supposed to have that character. I can't picture
no way.
Him like that because you have to have that attraction to the character and you have to have that sexual friction going on between the two. I don't know. I just can't picture Tom Hanks in that position, but I don't know. There's just something about Bill Paxton that you just, he's like a big cuddly teddy bear that you just love him. You know what I mean? Just like Keanu Reeves, like you just know he's such a good guy and no matter what he does, you're going to love it anyway.
But putting him against Helen Hunt, who it's kind of Helen Hunt's 2 years, like it's this and As Good As It Gets. And, and of course, Mad About You. And I've always liked Helen Hunt.
I like
and,
her too.
And she's a damn good actor. I try not to say actress. An actor but the fact of the matter is like she's got a lot of depth. Like, she is strong but vulnerable, and even when she's not showing that she's vulnerable, i.e. the scene where she talks about her divorce when she goes to see, is that her aunt or something?
Yeah. Aunt Meg,
right? And she's obviously upset that Bill's there. What's his name? Not Bill Paxton. What? What's his the character
Billy.
Name Billy.
Billy.
Oh, it's Billy? That's why you don't even forget it. You know, she's obviously upset that he's there and that Jamie Gertz is there. And she's doing her best to hold it all together in this very uncomfortable situation because she has a job to do. And that vulnerability is just below the surface until it bubbles out. And she does such a good job with that. And luckily, Bill Paxton, who doesn't do much, it gets upset once, but I don't think it's a super good acting job. At least he's got Helen Hunt. Because if you didn't have Helen Hunt, I don't know how you want to watch the two main characters. I think she does a lot of the heavy lifting. I think she's the MVP of the movie 100% because she are able to show vulnerability and strength at the same time, which is kind of her thing in Mad About You. It was kind of her thing as and good. It's her deal. That's her deal. Like, she's really good at that. And boy, she's real, real good in this movie, and can deliver. Again, if you can say the word line, if you can say the line cows, and then more cows, and sell it and make it funny, because that's a dumb line. Good for you. That means you know what's going on. So I don't know. Thoughts,
I think the whole time you were watching this movie, you were hoping they would get together because they're actually like a believable looking couple. I don't know. I just think they were so cute.
Yeah, and I think they have. They're obviously, there are troubles that you find out that they're both headstrong. And that's a very difficult thing to deal with two married people. If they're both headstrong, like neither of them give up an inch on anything. And I can see where the friction would come up and I can see why they would not want to be together after a while. But I think that's something that they would then have to rectify. They learned how to get past that in this whole crisis. Where Jamie Gertz, who's actually a therapist, would not have been able to do that. She says herself, I can't compete with any of this. You guys are like, Jamie Gertz is his bounce back. He's his, you know, his breakup fiance. You know, say, well, I need somebody. And she's really nice. There's nothing wrong with Jamie Gertz. She's not a bad person.
No, they don't make you hate her.
No, but her league.
I was thinking that the line that she said that I feel like she needed to say so that you didn't feel so bad for her was when she was like, and honestly, I'm not really upset about it. What does that say?
Well, yes.
You know what I mean? Like, she had to say that, and she had to say, like, no, I can find my way home. You know what I mean? Like, she had to kind of get tough in one way for you to not be like, oh, that's horrible. But, you know, at the same time, you just you liked her, but you didn't care. You just wanted them to get back together. But you had to have her say that so that you didn't feel like it was like a bad thing that they got back together.
Yeah.
Because he was engaged and you would have felt like this is wrong. You know what I mean? Like
people would have debated that like on the way home. Like maybe he never should have left her. Like, you know, like
yeah.
that and she sealed it for everybody. Like made it like,
yeah.
Okay.
And she's like, you know, this was never gonna last or whatever. Like, you know, just yeah. the way she said it, yeah.
Or maybe they were just, you know, she was just looking to be married. Mm-hmm. And she found a nice guy. Well, just because you want to be married and you found a nice guy doesn't mean that it's gonna work.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's not gonna happen. It's okay to admit it, and that's yeah. you know. And her as a therapist, like sometimes you just have to say, I have to admit the truth. The truth is this, and why are we
so
gonna,
Joe when she, you know, Helen Hunt's character Joe, she's upstairs, she just showered. Aunt Meg comes and visits her. It's a really nice, touching moment, like because like. You could see the pain in her, you know, in her eyes as she's and in her voice when she's trying to get dressed. And her aunt says, like, hey, you know, like I, you know, you can pretend everything's okay, but I can see right through you. You know, I'm paraphrasing, mm-hmm. but, you know, it's kind of what she's saying. And she's like, he didn't live up to his part of the bargain.
That's right.
You know, to spend mm-hmm. his days pining for you and chasing after you, lonely and miserable. Which is a big indictment on Helen Hunt's character, on the fact that she is just, you know, so focused, mega focused on these tornadoes that
mm-hmm.
she almost like forgets about other people a little bit.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Or a lot.
And by the way, that actress, the aunt, I thought she was such a beautiful woman. She just looked so beautiful. And she, like, I looked her up and it said she was 66 years old when she made this. I thought she looked gorgeous.
All right. Well, hey, everybody.
Hey, hello. Elizabeth is here. Huzzah. Fantastic.
Hold awesome. On.
So
you know?
Glad to be back.
Yes.
Here we go. You ready?
Jay, are you recording?
All right. Either that or it's just like falling water on an air conditioner.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, right?
Yeah. It does sound like that. We're glad you're here.
Thank you for having me back. I love talking movies with you guys.
Super. Yeah.
Thanks for coming.
So we were discussed a little bit and we kind of talked about Bill Paxton and Helen Hunt. We were kind of rolling into just about the kind of the goofy weather events or maybe like the actual chasing parts.
Oh,
so that's kind of where we are. So again, you obviously if you in the process, we're going to talk about Helen Hunt or Bill Paxton. You can, but we kind of already kind of hashed through that a little bit. We want to talk about that. Is that okay? Where we'll pick up there. Is that okay, Elizabeth?
Sounds great.
All right, Jay, do you want to do like an official, I don't know if we did an intro. You want to say, hey, Elizabeth is here. Do you want to do that or?
Yeah, that's right. You go, yay. Like, okay, and play the intro. Yeah, you know, she, you know, I already kind of mentioned that, you know, as a, you know, life gets in the way.
Nope.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
you know,
that's fine.
It's just maybe.
It's the fastest way to talk about it. Life.
That's all right.
We all experience it.
I don't know. Okay, how old are the kids?
I've got 11 all the way down to 2.
Oh.
Wow.
Boys, girls, both, or? I know. I'm sure.
Three boys and then 2 girls.
Oh, that's amazing. I wish I love large families. I think that's amazing.
Thanks. Yeah, we love it. Although we had 3 boys first, so our house is constantly messy.
Oh yeah, sure. Those boys, they suck.
They're like they are twisters, right?
No, they're twisters
exactly.
in and of themselves. Yes,
on theme.
It is.
I
true.
Joke. I joke. I call my son Hurricane Edward. I don't really call him that to his face, but I joke about like you know saying we do call him that from time to time.
Yes. Yeah.
So okay. So look in Twister. Right. The crux of this is that Bill Paxton is the human barometer. Now. Elizabeth, have you ever tried to predict a weather pattern by dropping dirt in the air? Do you think do you think that works or is that maybe a little made up?
I don't know. I think that's outside of my range of expertise.
Okay. I'm going to say having a science background, that's some horseshit. So you can't just go flop, flop, flop. And I
Wasn't
love
he
it when.
Just trying to see where the wind was going with that?
No.
Where it would go?
No, that does nothing because it. No, because the way the air masses come together, that doesn't mean a damn thing. And my favorite part about that is he takes the dirt and he does this and he's looking at it very intently. And then Dusty comes up behind him like, hey, man, what do you see? Like, he's all like interested, like, ooh, what are you divining out of this? Dirt falling through the air is like, we got to hit the road. He's like, rock and roll.
No, he goes,
I'm like, oh, come on. We're going green. We're going green.
Followed by greenage.
Greenage. Cool. He goes greenage. Yeah.
So, but that guy looked like he hasn't taken a shower in like 9 months or something.
Well, that's his thing. They're
on the road.
That's his general vibe is that the other team is full of like CIA black Suburbans with Doppler radar included, and the other people are divining out of dirt and have old station wagons and pedo vans and things like that. So, if you had Elizabeth, I'm sure if you had a farmland, right? Where are you out of? You don't need to give your address. What state are you from?
I'm in mid-Michigan. Mid-Michigan. There's a lot of farmland.
Okay, so these people obviously that's their income is what grows out of the ground. Yeah. Now, I'm sure you might know a neighbor or know somebody that is a farmer. Would you think they'd appreciate it if trucks just started driving through their corn without asking and destroying large portions of their crop? Do you think they'd like that?
I'm guessing no.
Yeah, I think that's a safe assumption. I mean, I don't know. Like, I get where you like, it's a cool moment.
Yeah.
And I don't, have you guys ever like, I don't know what cars these people drive. But whenever my car goes through mud, I have a hard time. I can't imagine trying to drive through 8-foot-tall fresh corn stalks that just keep piling down in front of you. I don't know. I'm not saying it's not possible. I don't have a Dodge Ram. By the way, this movie brought to you by Dodge Ram. It's so much Ram stuff in here. So I don't know. Anybody else have any like stuff that happened in the movie? You go, like the weather stuff. You go, maybe not. I'll kind of make it.
I remember him trying to drive over that big tree, and I'm like, really?
Which
in the road? What, I'm like, there's no way you're getting over that. I know that that stuck big branch in the road, out, but still, like.
Okay. Anybody else?
I don't know. I think I'm always just caught up in the moment. Like, there's just intensity. It's awesome. I'm not always, like, when I'm watching a movie like Twister, I'm kind of that, what do you call it? It's like holding on to the
window of disbelief.
You're in
suspending the window of disbelief, yes.
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
I'm doing that. I'm just like, I'm in it.
Okay.
I'm thinking, I could be in that car right now and I'd love it.
Oh, yeah.
Not really.
No.
Right. Yeah. But debris. No, but see, safely, we all agree. It's all like, hey, check it out. Like, I was like, I want to be a storm chaser. I wasn't really saying that, but like 5 minutes after the movie, I was for a little bit.
Sure.
You know? Yeah. But then I'd be in the car going, nah, you know what, guys? I don't know if I really thought this through. I don't have popcorn with me right now. I'm not drinking the soda.
If you've ever seen a storm chasing truck, it's like a tank. Like, it's literally like, if they're going into the storm, it's got armor plating. It weighs a ton. It's got all kinds. It's not a station wagon. It's not a station wagon. So now is all of this. Now, I personally think, I don't think you can actually lift two cows or lift a cow and have it fly through the air like that. I don't know that that's a thing. Oh, here we go. We got pictures. Realistic looking cow. No. Oh, we got it sisters.
Is. Yeah.
We got sisters.
Yeah.
All right. No, I do like guys. I it is a fun moment when that happens because it brushes against their car, sort of like two brushes from a car wash.
Yeah.
The way it's on each side, except it doesn't normally spin your vehicle. But I do like when it's over, you got the panicked one in the back, Jamie Gertz, and they get out and just start jumping for joy.
I love that part. I love that part because of what you
And there is a moment where they have an awkward almost hug.
Yes.
Because they haven't really made up yet, right? They haven't decided they want to be together yet. Yeah. So they have, like, he wants to, like, hug her, but then they don't. And it kind of, like, it's almost like when you're going for a handshake or a fist bump and the nobody gets it back. Like, it's definitely an awkward moment, which I kind of appreciate because it does inform that we could like each other. Like, if we just kind of worry about like these pleasant moments and forget about when we butt heads, like there's a strong foundation here. If we can just get past our hard-headedness,
Well, you can tell they're exactly alike. Like in the very beginning of the movie, like he's living, not only is she living for it, but he is living for it. Like when she's like, you can go if you want. He's like, no, they got it covered. You know, he's like dying to go. And then just in that car right before they got out to do the little hug thing, you thought they were all going to have this shocked face, and you see the girl in the back, his fiance, having this shocked face, and you thought you were going to see that between them. And they just look at each other and just start giggling and smiling, and you're like, that's so funny. They're like so excited about it.
There is a definite energy of children. They're children. I mean, they're doing the job that they love, even though it's going to, be very, very dangerous. They are willing to do it, and like I said, they do it for the science, not the money. That friggin' line.
Right.
Anyway, so it's interesting that we see that, because we know what their motivations are, and it is to help people and to actually do research science. So I can appreciate that. However, we all know 5 twisters in 24 hours is, and by the way,
It
was 8.
That's what they said.
One of them was microbursts and downdrafts. So good for them for knowing that a microburst is actually very violent and isn't actually a tornado. But the other part is, like, don't you think it's a little, it's almost like they're playing the Twister video game. They had to start with EF1. And the next one had to be EF2, and the next one, until they get to the final boss, which is EF3, the EF5, which is
the finger of God.
It's just so overly, my problem is that the movie, that just, they make it, when I first saw it, I loved it because it was so overly dramatic. Mm-hmm. And then once you see it a bunch of times, like those lines, like, it's the finger of God, and the way he says it's so serious, it's just like, okay. Like, am I alone on that? I mean, dude, isn't it corny? Isn't there a lot of corny in the movie? Elizabeth, you seem to be into it. You said I come in suspending the window of disbelief, but isn't there a lot of corny, or is it me?
I think it depends on what age you see it.
Okay.
So I was probably like, what year did it come out again?
96.
Yeah, so I was not yet 10.
Okay.
So I probably saw it at the age where it's like that suspension of disbelief, it's like just still awesome to me.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually, this summer when I scheduled to do this conversation with you guys, I sat down and watched it with my 2 oldest, who were 8 and 11.
Mm-hmm.
And like just watching it with them, they were just like, oh, this is awesome.
Okay. Sure.
So I think it depends what age you see it, where it's like, you know, at this point, I still watch it as I did when I was, you know, 10 or 11, whenever my parents let me watch it for the first time.
Okay.
And also, I grew up in Missouri, which is
all right,
a little bit tornado alley, like kind of the outskirts of
sure.
it.
Sure.
And so, like, I'll even sit now and I'll be like, oh, sky's a little green. Who knows? Maybe we'll have to go in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
All right.
So, you know, I think I watch it with a little bit more excitement. Sorry, I am not on your team on this.
No. The discussion that we had at the beginning, and this is because that's my personality, right? Like, I kind of like, you know, Jaws is my favorite movie, but I make fun of it a lot for the things that it gets really wrong. It's not that I don't like it. And I said, and I preempted this by saying, it's going to sound like I don't like this movie. I do. There's just a lot of corny and a lot of wrong with it. I didn't say I didn't like it. It's just that sometimes, like, these lines, like, it's the finger of God, or Greenwich, man, or the suck zone. I don't know about you, for the person I just met, I don't know that I'm going to whisper the suck zone into my boss's fiance's ear rather seductively. Would you? I don't know that I'd do that. Just throwing
but
it
then
out
again,
there.
He is kind of that guy. Like, meaning he's not I'm not calling him the perv, but
no.
He's the you know, the loose cannon guy. In fact, the point where he goes, why don't you just tell her why you are you? You know, like, you know, like, kind of like, you know, and you kind of already, we already can see it.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. Yeah. So Elizabeth, wait a minute. So now you just said, we're giving Elizabeth some spotlight here. You just said that you showed it to an 8 and 11 year old, and there's no reason not to like this movie.
Yeah.
When you're that young. I mean, and it's exciting, and mostly, you know, I don't think there's anything inappropriate necessarily in it. It's just thrilling, maybe a curse or two, but not that bad. So I can see that it's absolutely thrilling. And we as people suspending the window of disbelief, like, we're okay with Spider-Man. Like, shit, guy got bitten by a radioactive spider. Of course he can climb walls. God, like, we're okay with all of that. Nobody says that's bullshit to Spider-Man, right? But, and this, with Twister, again, you're trying to be entertained. However, did they notice that the truck repairs its own windshield 5 times? It gets destroyed and cracked. And did they notice? Right over.
I didn't notice. Right? I didn't notice it though at times.
I noticed.
There's a lot of stuff like that. Like, one thing, and I did notice it too, like when he was like, let's get you all wired up. She already was wired up. You can see like the headphones are right around her neck with all the wires. And then the next shot when he says that, they're literally gone. And she puts her hair up so he can put it around her neck. Yeah. And then he's, you know, so he can tuck her in all the wires and all that kind of stuff. But she already was. So, but there's a lot of things like that in the movie that they were like, yeah, it's fine. Just keep rolling with it.
No, it still worked.
Elizabeth, I thought that it was kind of interesting that you said the sky is green. Is there going to be a tornado? Because I was looking up after this movie, I wanted to look up how many tornadoes does Kansas really get per year? And they are different every year. One year they get over 200. And it, you know, some is 39, some would be 17, some is 100, but they all said the same thing. Like, you have to learn what is the, what happens before the tornado. And they mentioned that the sky being green. So I think it was kind of cool that you knew that. So I didn't know that until tonight when I read that.
Yeah. It's a pretty telltale sign. Not always in my experience, but
Like, is it like a light green or dark green, or what does it look like?
It's hard to describe. It almost looks like film lights have been shined on it and like put a weird hue. It's not like green.
Yeah.
It's like you can tell because of the way the sun is still kind of out enough that it's shining. And
That's hard to explain.
It's got to be something about, it's got to be something about the angle that the sun is making with the moisture in the air. So it's refracting the light only to the wavelength of that particular green, which is indicative of the moisture that's in the air due to that type of storm. So I'm sorry.
I love
that. I just nerded out. So that's the reason that, you know, you have the sky is blue, and the reason that the sky is red or orange when the sun is at the bottom is angle of inclination and with the moisture that's in the atmosphere refracting the light to that particular wavelength. Anyway, but now let's talk about goofy shit. But there's a lot of tension, obviously, in the movie. And I don't want to be that guy that pees on the parade and says, yeah, well, the window gets smashed 5 times and it keeps fixing, or we're going to worry about Bill Paxton and wiring up Helen Hunt. So we're not going to, it's obviously action packed. However, wouldn't you say, why does Dorothy work? So part of this thing is that they need to drive a they need to get Dorothy to lift the sensors up into the tornado. They need to put themselves in harm's way, which
did
is
we
the
mention
worst
Dorothy
way.
Yet?
Well, I know, but I'm bringing it up now.
No, Dorothy, what it is.
Dorothy is this little sensing mechanism that they've made so they can get data about a tornado from the inside. Which is nonsense, because that's what weather satellites do.
And all these things, yeah.
That's nonsense, because weather satellites will do that, but whatever. So they just want a bunch of data. Fine. It's a cool hook. Whatever.
Did weather satellites do that when this came out in 96?
It was getting there, but I mean, the technology wasn't that far away. Granted, they go from like tornadoes having a fairly good, like you can give them like a 2 or 3 minute notice. I don't know what it is in 96.
No, that's what she said. She said it was only a 3 minutes and that's not enough. And she wanted to do this to give people a 15 minute notice.
Okay. Then I was thinking of it the opposite.
You know what though, guys? Carrie Yules or Jonas.
Yeah.
His little trinkets were square. Nothing flies through the air like squares.
I noticed that. Yeah.
Right. A lot of surface area. Yeah, a lot of surface area.
I'm just thinking, like, we have aerodynamics here, and we have a square. Like,
In fact, the ones that are spherical would be more laminar, so they're actually not going to get picked up as much as with a flat side.
The flat side would basically
have a little sail. But the thing is that, you know, it's a neat device. They've got to go into harm's way. That is not a good way to do science, like, at all. And the way, if you're trying to run an experiment, that is not the way to do it. And in fact, if you're going to do an experiment, you have to do it two or three times. You can't just do it once and hope.
They did it a thousand times. It didn't work.
They did it a thousand?
There's a bunch of Dorothy's that didn't work. They lost like three of them before that.
Oh, yeah. All right. Sorry. That's right. That's right. I forgot. But I don't know. Like, to me, this is my point. So Dorothy, the whole point is that the Twister picks up Dorothy, which the sensor is inside of Dorothy, and pushes the sensors up into the tornado, right? So Dorothy, they're saying that the wind will pick up loose objects and send them around. Mm-hmm. Okay. Which means that the debris that the tornado is throwing around is the more dangerous than being sucked up into a tornado. Did anybody, Helen Hunt and Bill Paxton, are running from a tornado? The tornado behind them ate a barn, which is held together with nails and wood and shit like that, and there are no nails flying anywhere near them. They should have been pulverized with debris. But to in this movie, the most dangerous thing is wind, and that's not the thing that's dangerous. It's the debris that the wind is throwing around.
Well, they were
and they're saying
times
they're saying that Dorothy works because it works for the debris. But what about everything else that's flying in the thing? And the tornado is already going to have debris in it, which is pretty much going to make mincemeat of all the little sensors inside. So,
the horses were okay, though, too.
Oh, well, thank goodness. I know, but that was like, but that, to Helen Hunt's point, is that it misses me, and it misses me, and it gets you, and it misses the horses, but it gets the dog. Yeah. Bah. Again, it's thrilling.
But Chris likes the movie.
There is a house.
But I do.
Somewhere.
I like it.
That's right, and I swear to God, there is a house. You can literally see where there's it's real.
Yeah.
Where their tornado has literally gone all the way around this house and all the way around and left that one house standing. So it kind of goes all over the place. And because the reason why they have so many sensors in there is because they are already taking into an account that a lot of them will probably get destroyed. That's why there are so many. They don't need to have that many.
Are there that many?
There's a shit ton of them in there. Wait a minute. There's a whole bunch of them in there. No, there isn't. There's not a shit ton because it's in a barrel.
A metal barrel.
There was boxes and boxes and boxes of them.
Let me finish my point. There's a metal barrel. Okay. No, it's fine. I'm not mad. There's a metal barrel that's maybe 4 feet, 5 feet high.
Yeah.
It's maybe about 3 feet wide. So three feet in diameter, okay? You could calculate the area, the volume of the barrel if you wanted to. Each one of those little balls about yay big, okay? I would estimate you could fit two orders of magnitude, so somewhere around 500. 400. That is not a ton.
All they need is freaking
that's
one.
That's not a ton.
All they need is
because
one,
the tornado
not to get beaten up.
Goes
they just need one.
Miles up into the air. And when you look at the little, like, the computer, like, when they finally fly, there's like a million of them. No, it's not. There's like 500. 500's not a lot. Sorry. I'll
have a question.
Yeah. I like the movie, I swear.
What is your success rate of guessing how many M&Ms are in a jar?
Very good, because I do this experiment with my students all the time. It's actually one of the things where we do. It's an order of magnitude estimation. So you can get a ballpark into the right power of 10. And there's not 1,000 things. There's not 1,000 sensors in those drums.
No, they're anywhere
from 100 to 600, 100%. And
that's
so not
a lot.
So
how many do you think that they would need?
That many in the truck.
What's that?
How many do you think they would need for success then?
I think
in
need,
their experiment.
You'd need, if you want to get serious data, if a lot of them are going to get destroyed, and you want to go all the way up into the funnel and you want to keep them recording, you'd need, I'd say, 1,000 to 3,000. You'd need a lot. Because it's very chaotic inside of one of those things. And you're assuming that one ball is going to make a perfect spiral the whole time. And it's not.
Yeah, you're right. It'll probably get kicked out.
It's going to get thrown out because everything else gets thrown out of the tornado. So, again.
We're just enjoying the movie.
I know. It's like, look, I know Spider-Man walks up walls. Get over it. I get it. And it's just a way for Bill Paxton and Helen Hunt to become closer as they get into danger and they get the thrill of the hunt. See what I did there? I didn't even mean to. So I don't know. I'm just, again, Elizabeth, you know I know it's, and again, and I'm gonna bring you up because it is thrilling. It's fun. It's fun to watch. It's just like, but it's like Jaws. Like the shark's not gonna keep coming after the same boat. Like it's not gonna do that. It's not gonna. It's not gonna jump up out of the water, land on the boat, and try to eat people. Sharks don't do that, and tornadoes don't do this. That's all. Yeah. What I'm saying. And the day after tomorrow, the cold doesn't roar. But you know, I'm just throwing it out. It does not roar. Cold doesn't roar.
I'll tell you what I liked about that movie if we do it one day. No, but you know what I thought was cute about this was in the beginning when they were all running out and they were all excited to go see the tornado. And she's like, no, I'd like to go see this. I think this is very interesting. Mm-hmm. And like every single car had different music and it was like their person's, you know, different personalities and everything. Mm-hmm. Like some had classical, some had like Van Halen, some, you know what I mean? Like, and she was on the phone and she was doing her, she's on the phone and she's talking to her like clients and it was just kind of cute. Yeah, Rainbow.
Oklahoma. The guy's singing Oklahoma.
They're all their different personalities.
Did you guys see Judy Garland on TV?
Yes, I wrote that down. Yeah.
I didn't.
That the aunt was watching. The aunt was watching TV and Judy Garland. Like, it wasn't The Wizard of Oz. She was watching something else, but Judy Garland was in it.
It was like Judy Garland, like doing her hair in a mirror while talking to some guy or whatever, like on another movie. I thought it was
cool. Elizabeth,
did
you realize the dog in the beginning was a Karen Terrier that was the same dog from, that was Toto from Wizard of Oz? And those are rare dogs. Not everybody has one of those.
Yeah.
Cool.
No. Although my neighbor's dog looks like one, but it's not.
Really?
It's like a mixed breed, but yeah.
Yeah.
That's like so close when you look at your neighbor's dog. Yeah.
So close. Could have been.
I like it when Bill Paxton says, I'm happy with my life. I'm happy with the way things are going. I'm happy with, and she goes, Melissa, I know her name.
I know her name.
Right.
It's so funny.
He's very good flustered.
Okay. I would say before we do TMI, I do want. I think the ending we need to talk about a little bit because, like, I know I'm bringing Chris back. I'm bringing him back into the anger mode. Like I want Johnny Science. Like no, because Wendy and I, who were my wife Wendy, we're very like you know we're very popcorn centric when it comes to films. We love that like style the best. Like and we're okay, but also. Mm-hmm. You gotta call a spade.
We're okay.
Yeah.
No. I'm just talking about the movie style, like you know, like popcorn movie. You know, like I want blockbuster entertainment, and most likely I'm gonna love it, or at least like it a lot. But we're going okay. It just destroyed everything, yet somehow a leather strap.
Yep.
Is allowing them to stay alive. And I said, can you imagine if like a reality thing happened? The whole movie's popcorn. Everything's wonderful. We're having a good time. And then like at the end, their clothes just get ripped off. Then their skin gets ripped off.
Yep.
Completely like, you know what I mean? Like a brutal murder, like, you know, from the thing and they're dead. Yep. And it's like, yes. But at least we got the sensors in the volcano, in the tornado. You know what I mean?
The
like
final
Dorothy
sacrifice.
Worked. Yeah. You know, they died for a good cause.
I got my feet ripped off by the tornado, but we got the sensors in.
Like when the debris of like taking their skin off, like it's like what I mean? Like it just like it's going so fast. You know what I mean? And it's like an F5.
Guys,
that thing was so big, and it dissipated right after it went over them.
Yeah, there was a moment when they went into a barn, and there was a bunch of like scythes and axes.
Yeah.
And Bill Paxton went, "I don't think so." So then they went into another one that had the pipe, and they put the leather belt. Which again, the leather belt. I've broken leather belts, like just from wear, you know. So a tornado would probably be able to do it. And the fact of the matter is. The tornado was chasing them. It went through the barn with the axes in the side. So it's whipping around those. It's still in the tornado, maybe. So they're just going to get, like, shredded. And that's, I mean, I know, because you had to have the finger of God moment. And it's true, because in the middle of the tornado, it would be very peaceful. There would be no clouds, because it's the eye. So you'd see up, and it would be very calm, like a hurricane, but much smaller. So I'm sure it'd be very chaotic, and it was very good of them to try to visualize what it would look like. And it was interesting. I like that it had a little like ribbon in the middle. If when you look, it had a ribbon, like that's like how a drain, when you're doing your tub, it has that little ribbon. And they did that. I'm like, good on you for at least trying to visualize that, because no one's seen that. So good for you, but.
But they should have had more injuries, though, from things that were flying.
100%. They come out scot-free.
Yeah.
not a fucking Band-Aid on them. Anything.
They had, like mud on them. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, then they made out. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
They were wet, and they had some dirt.
I mean, I'm glad they made it. Yeah. You know, I was rooting for them. I didn't hate them. But, Jesus. Like, come on. All right. Sorry.
One of my friends is a nurse at a local hospital, and there was a tornado that came through, and actually she has a man in the ICU that was picked up in the tornado, and he's going to be fine, but he'll be there for a while.
Yeah, I would say.
But he was like thrown onto a median, and they had to use the jaws of life to get him out, and I think it's okay to share because I don't even know who this person is.
Yeah, you didn't say his name. That's fine.
Yeah.
John Smith.
My kids ask me all the time, what if we're driving and there's a tornado? And I was like, everything I've learned is you find the lowest point and you lay flat. Don't know if that's going to save your life, but it's like the best thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the debris isn't going to go that low. I mean, if something might drop on you, but you just want to be around some concrete and get as low as you can.
Yeah.
From what I hear anyway. So,
Yeah.
All right.
Are you ready for TMI?
I have something else to share whenever you guys are ready.
Right. No, go ahead, do it.
I had a professor in college who, he's a screenwriter, and so he actually got to go on set of the filming of Twister.
Wow.
Cool.
And one of the things he shared was that it was, I think, when Bill Paxton and Helen Hunt had one of their in-the-car scenes.
Uh-huh.
And so they had to have the, I'm going to blank on the name, but the whiteboards that refract the light were shining in the car. And it was so bright that their eyes were like burning because of it. I don't know if that was something.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah. That's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That they did that stuff like nice. To actors and actresses back then. They're like, it's all right.
No, it's fine.
Right.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. I have something like that in there. I'll read it.
Rub some dirt on it. There's nothing but dirt like flying through the air in this.
It's time for TMI with Melanie.
Listen to this. I am in the bathroom right before the movie starts.
Uh-huh.
And I'm in the stall, and there's no toilet paper.
Yeah. And mine are at home in a display case above my bed.
Yeah.
TMI. TMI, my friends.
TMI? Too much information.
I used to say don't go there, but that's lame.
Now, here's Melanie with your timeless movie info.
All right, Melanie, blow us away.
I'm literally sitting here trying to read and try to find out what she said because I know I wrote it in here somewhere. I can't find it. We'll see if it's in there. All right. So the budget was $88 to $92 million. The gross was $495.7 million. This was the first movie released on DVD actually ever, and the last release on HD DVD. It took 82 days to film. Michael Crichton and his wife Anne Marie Martin were paid $2 million for their script, which at the time is the single most expensive screenplay ever purchased. Both Joss Whedon and Steven Zaillian, I don't know if I'm saying that right, were brought into as script doctors and paid a fee of $100,000 a week. Nice paycheck.
Cool.
after Bill Paxton died, this is so nice. After Bill Paxton died in 2017, Spotter Network choreographed 200 storm chasers, just like they played in the movie, real storm chasers, to spell out BP with their GPS tracker blips on radar display to honor him. This kind of tribute had only been done 5 times before, and it was the first time it had ever been done for somebody who was not actually a storm tracer.
Cool.
So I thought that was cool. With a very loud and bass heavy surround sound, this film was notorious for destroying surround speakers in theaters worldwide. A recording of a camel's moan was slowed down and used as the sound of a tornado. A jet engine from a Boeing 707 was used to generate the wind in some of the scenes. The CGI cow that I showed that picture of that was picked up by the tornado was originally a CGI zebra from Jumanji in 1995. They just kind of reworked it.
Oh, all right.
Many of the news reports that were spread through the movie were actual weathermen from Oklahoma news stations at that time. The explosion of the oil tanker was originally, it was mistimed and it was not caught on film. DeMont decided not to tell the studio immediately, and the stunt was reset and filmed again, costing a rumored $500,000. Filming in Oklahoma was briefly delayed due to the bombing of the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City. April 19th, 95. Many of the crew members actually went to the site to help with recovery efforts. The production brought on eight blocks of houses in the old downtown area of the real town of Wakita, Oklahoma, for $7,000 to $10,000 per house. These houses and additional 30 homes were built by the production and were demolished by the film's crew for the scenes after the Twister passes. The town later rebuilt the town area and also kept the new fire truck that was used in the film. The town of Wakita, which is Aunt Meg's town, created the Twister Museum to celebrate and pay tribute to the movie. And this is what I was saying earlier. Tom Hanks was the original choice for this role, which I can't see. Yeah. He read lines, actually, with the cast and even chose the character's wardrobe, which stayed in the final film. But he dropped out of the pre-production and said that this film just wasn't what he was trying to do with his career at the time. It called for an eccentric man with a Southern flair, and this just was not me. However, having worked with Bill Paxton on the set of Apollo 13 in 95, Hanks felt that he was actually the perfect man for the film, and he actually helped Paxton land the role. Bill Paxton said that he didn't even meet producer Steven Spielberg until the end of the year. Until a year and a half, after finishing the movie. He said that Spielberg greeted him with, "Thanks for making me a lot of money." Sunny days posed a problem because it did not make the background skies look stormy enough. In order to fix this and prevent delays, several scenes had to be flooded. Here it is right here. With high-intensity Klieg lights for, for better contrast. As a result, Helen Hunt and Bill Paxton suffered minor retinal burns for filming this movie. And Helen Hunt was injured while filming the scene where the truck drives through the corn when the door slammed into the back of her head. So for the later shots, the door was wedged open, so that wouldn't happen again. The project was a co-production between Universal Pictures and Warner Brothers Pictures. That is why we see Psycho 1960, and we also see The Shining 1980. So you got Universal and Warner Brothers in there. Cool. One of the reasons that Jan DeBont signed on to direct the film was that the rapid rise of CGI in the 1990s was sought to perhaps be the last opportunity to direct a large-scale film with practical events. So the time proved that he was actually right. After CGI's last evolution in the later years caused the almost total abandonment of large-scale movies to make practical effects. Jan DeBont said that he regretted doing the hail sequence because it took so long to do and was very difficult that they could not find ice blocks big enough in Oklahoma for the hail-making machine. They ended up having to find them from other states. The ice blocks were made by pouring milk into the water so that you could actually see the hail better on film. The kinetic wind-powered sculptures in Aunt Meg's garden are made by sculptor Evan Lewis. At the end of the movie, Bill remarks that the tornado didn't take the house. In fact, it was originally supposed to. The Hardin County, Iowa Historical Society and many citizens objected to that house being blown up, so it was spared. The area is now a tourist attraction, and the rubble from the barn and the fences is actually exactly like it is in the movie for everyone to come see.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. A real 120,000-pound two-story house was actually rolled right in front of Bill and Joe by a 50-foot-high crane. The farming equipment that falls out of the sky just before that was also real, made out of special lightweight aluminum and dropped from military helicopters. But the teddy bear that wouldn't injure anybody is actually CGI that was thrown on the windshield.
Oh.
That's weird. So they have to make, like, the hard things with the real things, and then the teddy bear is CGI. Just as the fuel truck crashes on the ground a few minutes before. The huge oil tanker is hurled towards Joe and Bill, and the finale is mostly real. A full-size tanker was mocked up and hung from a suspension rig where it could be performed and controlled collisions with their red pickup. Production stills of the stunt can be seen online. That's it.
Cool.
A lot of special effects that I saw.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
It's time now for final judgment. Are you ready to rubber stamp this bitch? Here's the final judgment.
All right. It's time for final judgment. We talk no longer about opinion, but fact. And as I've said before, movies like this are filled with scientific fact.
Oh, yeah. 100% true. Whole thing.
If you ever want to piss Chris off, talk about how factual this is.
No, I know. It's just not real science. So look, I've been a curmudgeon about this. I'll just go ahead and start. I do think it holds up. I think it's a really neat story. I think it's acted well. I think it's compelling. I think you want to watch it. Like I said, the science isn't good, and hopefully, if anything comes of this, hopefully young people get interested in the weather. Right? Even if it's not true. Like, I got interested in space because of Star Wars. That shit's not true. So hopefully, you know, they understand that, you know, the weather is something that can be studied, even though it's dangerous, and that you can use it to make mathematical models to try to see what happens in the future. So if it makes people interested in weather, super, because we need to have more people like that, even though if the circumstances of these storms are completely ridiculous. That doesn't matter. It's supposed to be compelling. The only thing that doesn't hold up is that it is the early days of CG. So that's obviously not a good looking cow. And the twisters that are in the distance don't look great. But I don't think that matters. So I, in fact, even though I just kind of complained about it a lot, I do think it holds up. I think it's a fine movie in its place. So I would say yes. So I will go to the guest, Elizabeth. Does this hold up?
I think it holds up. I think it's fun. It's a movie that you can watch when storm season starts.
Sure.
I think the chemistry between Helen Hunt and Bill Paxton is, I don't know if I should say one of the best, but it is definitely up there as great film chemistry. And yeah, I think it's great.
Good.
Awesome.
Melanie?
I'm going to say I would love to see this back out in the movies again. I know they do that with movies every once in a while. I think this came back out in the movies. Although people aren't doing movies as much as they were before, they're seeing things now on, you know, renting them on TV. But I think it would be amazing to see on the big screen again. I think people would absolutely love it. I think that because it's something that they're talking about that's actually real, like tornadoes and weather and things that are actually really scary. Like one of the things that scares me more than anything is like weather events, to be honest with you. Because they're so unpredictable and they can do so much damage to people and affect so many people's lives. So I think that it's something that would definitely hit home with a lot of people. And like Elizabeth said, I love the chemistry and the relationship between Bill Paxton and Helen Hunt. It's one of those movies where you're like, I wish they were a real couple. Like in The Conjuring, when you watch The Conjuring or Annabelle, you're like, I wish they were a real couple because they're just so cute together. So yeah, I think it's super cute and I think it holds up for sure. Like Chris said, some of the effects aren't as, you know, they're not as great, but a lot of them are amazing because that was one of the final days of using real effects before everything now is just CGI. So yeah, I do think it holds up.
Jay.
All right. Yeah. Sure. It does. We enjoy it. Still to this day, we're still having a fun time watching it. And I think, regardless of how bad the cow may or may not look, Helen Hunt makes us laugh with cow.
Yeah.
Another cow. Like we're just like the dumb.
The same
I think
cow.
That's the same one. Yeah.
And then the girl, and then you know, you got Jamie Gertz going, I gotta go. We've got cows. You know, I mean, that's funny. Yeah. So like, you're not as focused on that. Like it's the acting is so much fun. Philip, I want to talk about. Philip Seymour Hoffman for a second, because yes, he's the, you know, he's almost like a surfer. Like, you know, like, hey man, like, sup, dude, like everything's like cool, man. Like, and if that's all he ever was throughout the film, there was a chance he was going to be just that. You could see that that's, but you got to see him take seriously life for a few minutes as this. And I like that a lot. It showed depth there. It wasn't just like, you know, man, like that was because like, remember earlier on, like you almost missed that. You just missed that truck. That was awesome. Yeah. Like, you know, it's like, well, this guy takes nothing seriously. But then, you know, when he's like, you know, showing how Aunt Meg And by the way,
I noticed that.
I noticed.
Very concerned about her.
I just want one last thing about I just said aunt, but the three people that are actually members of the show are from a part of the country that say aunt. Okay. Now, the entire rest of the world says aunt. Yeah. Like, I looked it up once. I was like, there was a map with dots of all, and like, it's like just the Northeast.
Really?
It says aunt.
Really? Yeah. It is an aunt. You're not an aunt. You're not an aunt walking across the ground.
I understand. But I'm talking New York.
There's a like, U.
I know.
There's a U in the goddamn word.
I get it. But it's everywhere else. And I'm gonna predict just because she's from Missouri originally. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. She says aunt.
Sure.
It's aunt.
Did you say
my
aunt?
Brother?
I
yeah.
do.
Oh, my brother.
I'm so wrong about that.
My brother is.
Seinfeld. Not that there's anything wrong about that.
My brother lives in St. Louis, so I know. That everyone else but him says aunt.
he's
the only one.
When I moved to California for a while in college, people would make fun of me because of my accent. And I'm thinking, I don't have an accent. I'm from Missouri.
You don't have
I don't feel like you have an accent, really.
No, but in California, and like the West Coast, they say college. And I say college.
It's college. So,
Yeah,
collagen.
So they say, like, I can't even say college. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's stupid. The word for your
college.
It's collagen.
Yeah.
C-O-L-L. So why wouldn't it be? That's dumb.
I don't know.
Away from them. All right.
Well, Chris is running on absolute fumes.
Yep.
Because he's been traveling all day.
Yep.
So we're gonna wrap this up. We're saying Aunt Meg throughout most of it because that's what they're saying. But we're also saying Aunt Meg because of where we're from. So it's just kind of I had to bring it up. I think it's kind of funny. All right. So I'd like to, thank Elizabeth for partially joining us today. don't feel bad. We're having fun. It's like, but we did start the show. So like, half of it's going to be, hope she gets here. Hope everything works out. And then she showed up. So this is actually the first time it's ever happened.
I'm glad you came. Yeah.
We're just glad you're okay.
Of course. But it's the first time we've ever been joined midstream.
Yep.
But it worked out. Awesome. It worked out good. I thought it was good. You picked it's right awesome. Up. You knew what you're doing.
Yeah. So thank you so much for joining us. And if you want to, remind everybody where you're from, what you do, as far as like entertainment and how to find you.
Oh, yeah. You can check me out at Movies with Mom. I react to films. It's been a bit of a summer hiatus, but we'll be back up shortly. So find me.
We understand that. We understand that.
Yep. Yeah, we've had a lot of weird weeks. It's like, sorry, folks, can't do it. It's like every other week sometimes in the summer. Summer's been a little tough go for all of us this year.
Yeah.
So, but.
Well, thanks for having me.
Oh, of course.
Thanks for coming back. We'll have to do it again.
Yeah. We absolutely would love to have you back. I'd like to thank Steve Lavoie for our vocal imaging and Draco and the Malfoys for our awesome theme music. And on the behalf of Chris Martineau and Melanie Harrington, I'd like to say thank you for joining us. And please hit that like and subscribe and all that stuff. We really want to get a rhythm with that algorithm because, boy, it's tough. And movies may not age like fine wine, but we drink it anyway. Bye. Film Crickets, chirping about movies.